Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Nolan Brewer, and welcome to Artist Corner. Today, I'm joined by a special guest, Silly the Willy. If you're not familiar with his work, he's the composer behind Phenotopia Awakening, which was released for PC, Switch, and the PS4. And you can also find his work on Spotify, Bandcamp, and all of those streaming services. Before I get into this, I wanted to say this is a written interview, and I have my friend answering for Willie, so it's not actually his voice, just to clarify things. Without further ado, let's begin. What's the story behind how you got onto Phenotopia Awakening?
So basically, Quells and I were college housemates back in the day. We were both into gaming, and both slowly improving in our respective hobbies. I remember he spent one summer teaching himself game dev skills and making basic games. I'm sure he vaguely remembers me teaching myself audio production and writing crappy songs. At some point, we joked about making a game together, but I didn't think it'd lead to anything. But several years later, Quells decided to pursue game dev full-time and asked me to write the soundtrack for his next game. Long story short, that resulted in me and Ryle Hamilton co-composing the soundtrack for the old Flash version of Phenotopia, which eventually led me to writing the full soundtrack for Phenotopia Awakening.
Were you inspired by things outside of games for the soundtrack?
Just music in general, I guess. One thing I like doing is taking elements I like from songs I listen to and incorporating them into songs I write. Visuals can be inspiring too. When requesting music, Quells would sometimes send artwork or screenshots of the characters or environments, and seeing those visuals would usually spark my imagination.
What would you say is most important when it comes to mixing?
Maybe ear training? Being able to listen to a mix or a track and discern what adjustments need to be made. But I guess that encompasses too much, right? If I had to pick one thing, it might be volume balancing, setting the relative volume levels of the tracks before moving on to basic fixes like EQ and compression. Getting the levels roughly balanced pre-mix is like 50% of the mix, right? Disclaimer, I'm not a professional mixing engineer.
Are there any exercises you've done to improve that mixing?
Sure, there's been a few. Sometimes when I stumble upon raw multitracks, I load them into my DAW and practice mixing with them. If there's other people's mixes posted, I can compare my mix with theirs. Another thing that comes to mind is not falling into the trap of mixing visually. By that I mean looking at the screen while adjusting settings and fooling yourself into believing the mix is improving when in actuality the plugin being adjusted is disabled. Or making an EQ cut and thinking something's wrong, even though it sounds perfectly fine, because we look at the graph and think the cut's too drastic. To counteract visual bias, closing my eyes and listening actively helps me to focus on what matters most, the sound. Double-blind A/B testing is also good. Other exercises include learning to identify frequencies by ear, or applying a compressor and fiddling with its settings to learn how those settings affect the sound of the compressed signal.
What forums have you used to learn audio production?
It's been a while, but the three I used to visit most daily when starting out were the Reaper forums, KVR Audio, and GearSluts, or so it was called back before the name changed to GearSpace. If I recall correctly, the Reaper forums had good info on using the DAW, of course, but also good info on acoustic recording and mixing. KVR Audio for audio plugin news and discussion, GearSpace recording and mixing info.
What are some useful resources to learn from today?
Honestly, I'm not the best person to ask. I'm not up to date with what's out there nowadays. I'm sure there's more resources now than ever before, but finding the worthwhile ones might be tough. One classic resource is reference mixes. Great for referencing, of course, knowing what a good mix ought to sound like.
Do you have a process when it comes to chord progressions?
For chord progressions, I like brainstorming a few different ways because each way has its own pros and cons. For example, using my imagination to hear the chord progressions in my head is quick, but I might have a harder time imagining more unusual chords or voicings. Playing and improvising chord progressions on piano guitar is spontaneous, which means, in the worst case, I fall into the trap of playing simple and uninteresting chord progressions, or in best case, I might surprise myself with what I've come up with. Lastly, using pencil and paper to write out chord progressions is slow, but it helps me to see the overall structure of the song, and lets me experiment with more unusual chord progressions.
What about melodies?
For melodies, I guess I do things similarly to what I mentioned earlier for coming up with chord progressions. For most of my songs, the chords and melodies are intertwined, so coming up with one usually leads to another, and vice versa.
How important is texture when writing music?
On the one hand, you could say Jimi Hendrix would still sound like Jimi Hendrix even if he was playing on a cheapo beginner guitar, and old school game composers were able to come up with great music despite the limited sound palettes. So in that sense, you could say texture isn't that important, but in the context of game soundtracks, I think texture is especially important. Texture, from the way an individual sound sounds to the overall atmosphere of the mix, can convey such a wide variety of moods, emotions, feelings that help immerse the player in the game. That's why I can sometimes spend hours trying to find the right sound for a song.
Would you ever write music with a real orchestra?
That'd be awesome, assuming I had the budget.
Do you have any advice for writing percussion?
Finger drumming is always fun. Listening to a wide variety of music and analyzing the rhythmic elements is good too. When it comes to emulating human playing, I try to take the time to make small imperfections in timing and dynamics, as opposed to perfect/robotic playing. Since human drummers aren't robotic, of course. Also, when you have a percussion pattern, take it and play around with dynamics, with note placement and where the emphasis lands. I find that if I simply record a percussive pattern, I'll tend to fall into habits and record something usable but not that interesting. Tweaking the recorded pattern afterwards can result in something nice that I wouldn't have normally thought of.
Have you played any games in recent times that have left an impact on you?
For some reason I can't think of many recently. Story-driven games are the type of games that tend to leave an impact on me, of course, but I guess I haven't been playing many of those lately. Going back to games I played last year, Lost Judgment was great. I appreciate that they focused on the topic of bullying, something that's sadly all too common and relevant in our world.
What do you think about the Steam Deck or the upcoming Switch 2?
I'm a big fan of the Steam Deck. Portable gaming is awesome and PC gaming is awesome. Kudos to Valve for all their contributions to Linux gaming and for making PC gaming handhelds more mainstream. As for the Switch 2, it seems like a great upgrade from the OG Switch. If there's ever a sequel to Splatoon 3 or Super Smash Ultimate, I'm in.
Are you helping with the upcoming Star Iliad in any way?
Nope. As you may have heard, Quels is working with another composer for Star Iliad, Alex Sunders. He did ask me, but I was busy at the time. But we'd definitely like to work together again if a future project pops up.
What are your favorite soundtrack cover arts?
I haven't thought about that much, to be honest. I always appreciate beautifully drawn artwork, but I especially love it when the art reveals more about the game's world and characters. Bastions has the kid listening on headphones, and Eichenfell and A Short Hike has the characters just chilling. Amori is great, and it has a lot of references from the game that players would recognize. The Outer Wilds cover art has a cozy vibe, and I really like the logo design. And Nier Automata has a cool one where you take the original soundtrack and the arranged/unreleased soundtrack, place the cover art side to side, and you get one continuous image.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you can learn something in some way. And again, you can find Silly the Willy's work on Spotify, Bandcamp, and all of those streaming services. So, thanks for joining me. I'll also link his work down in the description below.